This week, we're looking back on the start of the US invasion of Iraq 2 decades ago. The initial goal was to remove the country's leader, Saddam Hussein, from power. Here and Now producer Lynn Menegon tells us about one Iraqi refugee in the US who remembers those early years of the war.
20 years ago, Nasir Nouri worked as an Iraqi Airways engineer in Baghdad, running a travel agency with his wife. He thought the U.S. invasion of Iraq would last a couple of days.
I was there at the airport when U.S. military entered Baghdad. We had orders to dismantle the aircraft, remove all the engines and all avionics and save them. The government at that time, Saddam government, thought it's going to last a week or 10 days.
The war lasted 8 years. Nouri worked 2 blocks away from where a statue of Saddam Hussein was toppled in the weeks after the invasion. Nouri recalls the moment life began to unravel. One day, he witnessed looters at his office.
And I saw this woman taking a chair out of the company. My wife, she jumped from the car before it stopped, running toward the woman, yelling, "What are you doing? This is my chair and this is my company." And the woman, she said, "Oh, it's a private, we don't want to take things belongs to people. We're taking things belong to the government because it's ours." We took the chair and we found out that was the last piece of furniture and everything was gone.
The late Washington Post journalist Anthony Shadid saw this unfold too. He was doing a story about the looting. Nouri says Shadid posed a simple question to him that helped bring everything into perspective.
This is when he said, "So, Nasir, what are you going to do now?" I said, "What shall I do?" He said, "Iraq Airways and it's gone. And your company is gone." This is when I realized that I have no job anymore. And the country is gone.
So Nouri spent the next 5 years translating and helping report for the Washington Post. He frequented some of the most dangerous places in the country, including inside what was then known as the Red Zone, outside of U.S. military control. Insurgents were eager to kill him.
You know the situation. In a situation like this, the best thing is to go fast, do the story, do the interviews, and run away fast, not just to save your lives, but at least the story that you risk your life for it, at least you will be able to post it or send it to your editors.
Once insurgents stopped him and his Washington Post colleagues at a checkpoint, Nouri thought they were going to be captured, so he pretended to be an insurgent commander.
So I don't know how I think thought fast, so I jumped out of the car before they reach the car. This is the thing. Iraqis lived under dictatorship for a long time, and they get used to receive orders. People tell them what to do. This is why democracy failed in Iraq. So I jumped out of the car and I told them, "Why all of you guys standing here? Where is your commander? You know that aircrafts and fighter airplanes and satellites are in the sky and they are recording and taping and videoing everything. And they will see you in the street and they will attack you. Take cover by the building." And the guys, they moved, jumped in the car and moved out until did the same thing with the other checkpoint until we left. And it's funny now when I talked about it, but I was really shaken.
Nouri and his family escaped the dangers in Iraq and came to the U.S. as refugees. Here, it was COVID that nearly killed him. And during the pandemic, Nouri was laid off from an airline job in Washington, D.C. Adjusting to life in America was hard, but he eventually landed on his feet and was able to return to his job at the airline. I asked him, looking back, what does he think now about the early days of the war, 20 years ago?
Iraqis, we had dreams. We had hope. And we thought that a country, a big country, like United States, when they come to Iraq, they have the solutions for everything. And I discovered, just like any other Iraqis, that there was a good plan for the war, but there was no plan for what after the war. Okay, Saddam is done. What else now? We did this story for the Washington Post about the power outage and the power and electricity. And I talked to the head of the power plant, and I told him how long it will take to fix the power in that neighborhood. 2 to 3 months? Honestly, answer me. During Saddam, how long it will take him? He said 6 hours. I said, what? Why? He said, first, if I don't fix it in 6 hours, I'll get executed by Saddam. Second, those electricians, if someone will attack them, he will be executed. So they were working safely. Now, unsafe or insurgents attack them. So I cannot. They work for a couple of hours and they come back.
Nuri says he's afraid to go back to Iraq. And it's not just because he's fearful of losing his life.
That picture in my mind that I have of Baghdad and the people, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to go there. And I found everything is ruined, not just a building. The way the people thinking, the sectarian strife damage the way that people think and look at others. Any talk could turn to a big argument if you mention religion or sect or politics. So I don't want to see this. I don't say it was not heaven, I will say that, what we lived before. But also, it was not hell.
For Here and Now, I'm Lynn Menigan.